had different examples come to mind. One is in 2 Corinthians. In the second chapter, Paul makes reference to the first letter that he wrote, where he told the Corinthians to, in essence, back off from this individual that had tried to take over the church. And the thing was to let him recognize what was going on. In the second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many," which in essence everybody in the church had backed off from this individual. And he says, "For that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." So he's telling them now, he had given a commandment to back off from him. Now he's saying, okay, he's suffered enough, he knows what's going on, now forgive him, bring him back, have compassion on him. And if not, then the possibility of him, of evil spirits really getting life from him, he just, spirits just eat him up, that everybody hates me. And so he says, "Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him." How they would do that would be to forgive him and receive him back. And he said, To this end, also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So obedience would be in loving this individual and showing your love to him. And then he gets into this tongue twister. In 10, "To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." So He's forgiven this individual. He wants them to forgive this individual, take him back, show love to him, and not let spirits take over and hold a grudge toward this guy, even though it was a very big thing that this guy tried to do, trying to take over the church, but it didn't happen. Another place is in Colossians 3. In verse 8, but he says, "Now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." So that's what he wants them to do, is to forgive. Anybody's got a problem, then we need to, any kind of quarrel, he wants to them to get that out of the way, get the spirits about it, and to forgive one another. And as was mentioned about wars have started over it, and there is 1,000-year-old grudges that are going on in Serbia and Croatia and the Balkans and the Holy Land. It's the Holy Land, it's not really holy, but over there, and they're actually half-brothers that started Isaac, and Isaac became the, ended up being the Jewish nation, and Ishmael, that's where the Muslim, or the Islam, or the Arab people came from, so those guys are actually half-brothers, but spirits that keep on and keep on and keep on, and even though I might not take revenge on him, you did something to my great-great-great-great-grandfather, and somebody's cousin is going to go in to keep this thing going. So that's how those spirits can keep going. Same way in Northern Ireland, the Irish Catholics and the Protestant, Irish Protestants, Irish Catholics, they are fighting. It's all because of you did this and you did that, and it's trying to do the old one-upsmanship. You blew somebody away that I love, so I'm going to come in and kill somebody you love. another place. I don't know exactly what happened with Cain, except for the fact that he killed his brother. But in 1 John 3, he says in verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." So he did, John's message was that we're to love one another, and not to have this hatred like Cain had for his brother. And if we look in the story back in Genesis, Cain was a man of the earth. He grew grain. And Abel had a flock, and Abel offered the right sacrifice because he offered something to God that God could use. He offered the life of the animal. There was life in that. There was no kind of physical, any kind of breath of life in grain. But Cain rose up, whether from jealousy because God accepted accepted Abel's sacrifice and didn't accept his, whether he wanted God's favor or whatever, but God even warned him about it and said that sin lieth at the door, and he ended up killing his brother. So whether it was self-right, or was a murderous spirit, definitely, but whether it was self-right or whatever that got it started, then that was part of the problem. Also thought about the scripture in Timothy says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and what Lucifer wanted from God was he wanted God's spirit. So whether he wanted whatever, whether it was attention or love from the angels or whatever, but that's what started the whole thing going, was self-right, that I should have my, you know, they should, I should be able to keep what's mine or whatever. But I thought that that was part of the problem, and that keeps going and going and going. And that got the whole thing started with sin, was Lucifer. He was a murderer from the beginning. He started murder. He murdered the angels. He murdered mankind. And it was all for this life that he wanted, whether attention from God or take God's place or whatever. I also thought about in Luke, in I think it's in 19 or 20, when the soldiers come to get Christ in the garden, that Peter pulls out his sword and cuts off the servant's ear, and he turns around and puts the ear back on, or heals the man's ear. So he wasn't striking out like Peter was, and he told Peter to put up his sword. That's not what I'm all about. If my kingdom was of this world, then will my servants fight, but now is my kingdom not of this world. It was of a deeper depth. He was no longer of the Moses world, eye for eye and tooth for a tooth. That was what the difference was. He wasn't out there doing eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth thing, but his whole message was mercy. When they brought the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, he wasn't there to want to kill her, but he wanted to show mercy, which was a step above what the law had. And an example also was when they crucified Christ, that on the cross he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So he wasn't there, and on the cross he wasn't yelling, you know, if I come down there, I'd punch you between the running lights or whatever, you know. And also Stephen in the 7th chapter of Acts, when he was being killed, he said the same thing, "Lay not this sin to their charge," or "Don't put this on their account. They don't know what they're doing." And he didn't say, you know, "Well, I'm going to send a letter to the buddies and put out a contract on you guys or something." But he knew it was evil spirits in those people, and he had was given more knowledge of God and knew what was going on and knew it was evil spirits, and he didn't want sin to continue either. And that's what God wants, to get rid of sin. He doesn't want people to carry grudges. And not really a grudge, what came to mind in when in 1 Samuel, when God told Saul to go out and destroy the Amalekites, it was a problem that they had. It wasn't a revenge thing. I don't know exactly, maybe that can be addressed, but when he sent them to destroy Agag, it was because Agag had attacked the rear part of the column when the Jews were coming out of Egypt, and he attacked the column, and God remembered that. But part of the picture is to crucify the old man. It's not that God is into carrying grudges, but he remembered what they had done. But the scripture said that God will repay, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So if there was something coming, then God was going to take care of it. And they were fighting against the move of God, because God was bringing the children out of Israel, or out of Egypt, and they could have, Agag and the Amalekites could have let them travel through instead of attacking them. So God's the bookkeeper, so he knows what's righteous and what ain't. So